Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Canto 3, Chapter 31, Text 48. Samyak,
Samyak.
Darshanaya,
Darshanaya.
Buddhya,
Buddha.
Yoga,
Yoga.
Vairagya,
Vairagya.
Yuktaya,
Maya,
Maya,
Virachite,
Loke, Charit, Nyasya, Kalevaram, Samyak Darshanaya Buddha, Yoga Vairagya Yuktaya, Maya Virachite Loke, Charanyasya Kalevaram Samyak Darshanaya Buddhya Yoga Vairagya Yuktaya Maya Virachite Loke Charanyasya Kalevaram Samyak Darshanaya Buddhya Yoga Vairagya Yuktaya Maya Virachite Loke Charanyasya Kalevaram Samyak Darshanaya Buddhya Yoga Vairagya Yuktaya Maya Virachite Loke Charanyasya Kalevaram Samyak Darshanaya Buddhya Yoga Vairagya Yuktaya Maya Virachite Loke Charanyasya Kalevaram Ladies Samyak Darshanaya Buddhya Yoga Vairagya Yuktaya Maya Virachite Loke Charanyasya Kalevaram Samyak Darshanaya Buddhya Yoga Vairagya Yuktaya Maya Virachite Loke Charanyasya Kalevaram Samyak Darshanaya Endowed with right vision Buddha Through reason Yoga By devotional service Vairagya By detachment Yuktaya Strengthened Maya Virachite, arranged by Maya, Loke, to this world, Charit, one should move about, Nyasya, relegating, Kalevaram, the body. Endowed with right vision and strengthened by devotional service and a pessimistic attitude towards material identity, one should relegate his body to this illusory world through his reason. Thus, one can be unconcerned with this material world. Purport. It is sometimes misunderstood that if one has to associate with persons engaged in devotional service, he will not be able to solve the economic problem. To answer this argument, it is described here that one has to associate with liberated persons, not directly, physically, but by understanding through philosophy and logic the problems of life. It is stated here, samyak darshanaya buddhya, one has to see perfectly, and by intelligence and yogic practice one has to renounce this world. That renunciation can be achieved by the process recommended in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Any idea what that may be, the process recommended? There are two important verses in the second chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam which mention vairagya. How do we achieve vairagya in devotional service? There you go, there's a good clue. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha. Say it. Janayatyashu vairagyam jnanam chayada haitukam. By rendering devotional service unto Vasudev. Renunciation and knowledge automatically arise. Then another important one is tachchadadhana muniyo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam bhakti shruta grihitaya. That the inquisitive student or sage endowed with knowledge and renunciation, bhaktya shruta grihitaya, renders devotional service according to the methods given in the scriptures, tachchadadhana, the faithful, tachchadadhana muniyo jnana vairagya yukta pashyat, in this way he's able to see the supersoul. Okay, so continuing this purport, the devotee's intelligence is always in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His attitude towards the material existence is one of detachment, for he knows perfectly well that this material world is a creation of illusory energy. Realizing himself to be part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, the devotee discharges his devotional service and is completely aloof from material action and reaction. Thus, at the end, he gives up his material body or the material energy, and as pure soul, he enters the kingdom of God. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shreshtam manamapi shachiputra matra surupam rupam tasya agrajamurapurim matarim goshtavatim radhakundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurantam natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Parikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivashakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada, or first of all, the verse and the purport, they give us an overview of how we should live in this world so that we can cultivate devotional service and go to the spiritual world. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that the devotee discharges his devotional service and is completely aloof from material action and reaction. Does that mean the devotee is completely aloof from material action? That means doesn't do anything? Well, that's not possible, not to do anything. But he's aloof from material action. Now, what does that mean? Devotees eat, they sleep. If they're householders, they may mate. They may defend also in some circumstances. Just like even living in a house is one aspect of defending. You're protecting oneself from the cold in the winter and the rain throughout the year. So what does that mean? That means that a devotee is renounced from the attitude of enjoying this world. in this verse, the words are there, yoga vairagya yuktaya, devotional service that is infused with. Srila Prabhupada here translates the word yuktaya as strengthened with renunciation. So on the one hand, by performing devotional service, one acquires detachment from this world. On the other hand, it does require a certain amount of detachment even to take up pure devotional service, because real devotional service begins with distaste, or even more so, disgust for the whole prospect of trying to enjoy this material world. That's why persons who that's one reason why persons who approach Krishna with some material desire, artha, I'm distressed, Krishna, please help me. Artharthi, I need some money, Krishna, please help me. At that stage, they can't be pure devotees. But the jnani, one who knows that I'm meant to serve Krishna, this material world is, there's nothing here for me to enjoy, I'm not meant to enjoy, such a person can execute, or just by that very attitude, can execute devotional service very well. And he automatically becomes detached from everything material, because he knows I have nothing to do with it, and it just binds us in the material world. Of course, as we experience, we take to devotional service with that attitude, hopefully. But it may not be easy to overcome the residual material desires within our heart and the whole attitude of enjoying this material world, which we've been cultivating since time immemorial. Therefore, we have to consciously adopt some measure of renunciation in our life. That doesn't mean we run off to the Himalayas, unless we're going to go and preach there, but generally we don't. But apart from having the attitude, I don't want to enjoy this material world, we deliberately separate ourselves from, or we vow not to engage in meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex, or intoxication, and we deliberately distance ourselves from non-devotees whose association is dangerous, it's contaminating. In male-female relationships, we observe certain protocol so that we don't fall into the danger of material attraction. So some measure of renunciation is required. Here the term is given yoga vairagya yuktaya, which of course reminds us of the term yukta vairagya. Anasaktasya vishayan yataham upayanjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate. This is a verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, in which he says that without being attached to this world, one should live within it, utilizing everything in the service of Krishna, seeing that everything is in relationship to Krishna. And this is called yukta vairagya, or applied renunciation. Prapanchakateya bhudya hari sambandhu vastuni mumukshu parityago mumukshu bi falgu vairagya. Vairagya falgu katyate. The verse is, the opposite of this is that persons who, not seeing the relationship of everything with Krishna, try to renounce the world, their kind of renunciation is called falgu, or it's not really very deep, not very deep, just like the Falgu River in Gaya, in India. If you see the river, there's just sand. You don't see any river. But if you push your finger in, you'll see there's water underneath. So it looks like there's nothing there, but there is. It's just under the surface. Or sometimes that's called shushka vairagya, or dry renunciation. They're trying to be, trying to negate all rasa. The other day I was talking about rasa. That we don't like rasa, so just cut it all out. But that cuts out spiritual rasa also. So just like I discussed the topic of rasa in a somewhat technical way, now I'll talk something in a technical way about yukta vairagya. And although you might have thought when I was going to discuss rasa, we might get into some very pleasing topics to hear concerning the pastimes of Krishna, I didn't. I discussed it in a technical way. Because we need to understand these topics, even in a technical way, just to help us advance in devotional service. Rasa is central to everything we do. And in devotional service in this world, yukta vairagya is also central to everything we do. We need to understand what it is. Generally, in our ISKCON, we as followers of Srila Prabhupada equate yukta vairagya, or applied renunciation, with living in palatial buildings. We got that phrase from Srila Prabhupada. When you read palatial buildings in Prabhupada's books, you might think that's a standard English saying. It isn't. It's a phrase which Prabhupada introduced us to. It's not wrong English, but it's not. The word palatial is not a very common word. Living in palatial buildings, driving in motor cars, things that sadhus didn't previously do. So we generally think of yukta vairagya as this. And it is, but the traditional understanding of yukta vairagya is somewhat different, and I'll talk about that now. Not that the traditional understanding is superseded or rejected, or that the understanding given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that devotees should use all good things of the world for the service of Krishna, not that that is incorrect. It's just another phase of understanding. So this yukta vairagya, what does it generally mean? Well, we can find that out from Narottam Das Thakur. What is the traditional understanding? Narottam Das Thakur has taught us in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Kama Krishna Karma Pane, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane, Loba Sadhu Sange Hari Katha, Moha Ishta Lava Bine Mada Krishna Guna Gane, Niyukta Karibo Jata Toto. So here he's referring to the six enemies, well known in Indian spiritual circles. Our six enemies are Kam, Krodh, Lo, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. That is lust, anger, greed, Kam, Krodh, Lo, Moha, illusion, pride, and envy. And interestingly, in this list, Narottam Das does not include envy. But he says that karma, material desire, instead of completely trying to give up desire, as the Falgu Vairagis, or the impersonalists do, karma Krishna karma apane, we should desire to serve Krishna, or we should do work for the pleasure of Krishna. Mat karma krin, mat paramo, knowing me to be supreme, Krishna says, one should perform work for his sake. So it's not that work is given up, but or even that desire, that is there, the nishkam karma yoga, nishkam karma, which a person works, but they give up the desire for the fruits. But a devotee works and desires fruits also in Krishna's service, just like we may build a temple, and we desire to do that, there has to be some desire but the idea is to build it for the service of Krishna. So we should build it as nicely as possible, considering our budget and so many other things. So that's just one example, and there are unlimited examples. So instead of trying to give up desire, desire how to serve Krishna in the best possible way. Krodh, anger, how can we use that in Krishna's service? Well, that should be directed to against persons who are envious of devotees. And the example is given of Hanuman. Ravana was envious of Rama and Sita, and all the devotees of Rama. So Hanuman gave Ravana a good lesson. Lobha, greed. And greed is something very bad. Even ordinary people don't like persons who are greedy, isn't it? It's even among non-devotees, greed is considered something very bad. Even to be excessively lusty is considered something, I mean, not among everyone, but lust has been glorified so much in the modern age. Greed is increasingly so, but it depends. It's not everyone. There are people who say, yeah, greed is good. Yeah, try and get as much money as you can. And they have they're shameless in acquiring money. But others look at that and say, that's not very good. But greed, that should be for hearing about Krishna and the association of devotees. Oh, there's discussion of Krishna among devotees. Oh, let me go relish that. Let me read Prabhupada's books. Moha, to be in illusion. So if Narottam Das suggests that if one becomes as if bewildered by not getting Krishna, that is the desirable state. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Govinda Virahena me Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam. I feel the whole world to be empty without Krishna. So it's a kind of illusion. It's a bewildered state, but that is desirable. And mother pride in glorifying Krishna. Pride not in the sense of to be proud person, that's also not very good, and people don't like that. But there is a good sense of pride also. I'm proud of being associated with all of you because you are such good people, we may say. So we take pride. Yeah, I'm proud to be a devotee. Not that I'm puffed up, but I'm confident in that position. I don't have any fear of announcing that to others. I feel my position is very good, not in an egoistic way, but in a manner I'm very happy to be in this position. So in this way, the lust, greed, anger, all these things can be renounced, but not by totally giving them up, but by niyukta koribo jata tata, but by properly putting them in their proper place in the service of Krishna. So it's not just renunciation, but it's really using things properly in the service of Krishna. So then we may ask, well, okay, that's some general idea, but what about what aspects of renunciation? What things should we use and not use? Because in the name of renunciation, yeah, I'm driving the most expensive car available, and in the meantime, it's all for preaching, Prabhu, and in the meantime, the temple, there's not enough money to pay for the bhoga. So that wouldn't make any sense, would it? That's lopsided renunciation. That's not real renunciation. One has to apply intelligence, and it may be that someone is very attached to riding in an expensive car, and he fulfills his material desire in the name of Krishna consciousness. So what things do we renounce, or what things should we renounce, and what things should we not? And there's actual renunciation, just like meat eating is to be renounced. Is it acceptable to eat imitation meat made from soya products? It's very popular in Mayapur, I'm told, among the brahmacharis. Personally, it looks like it and it's supposed to taste like it. Here's our friend. He doesn't look too happy. He wants to do his shooting now, is it? We're also doing shooting. We have another kind of shooting going on. Give him a wave. He's looking away. He's not very happy. Anyway, what can we do?
Yes,
he is waving back. Okay. So, what things are to be renounced and what things are not to be renounced? There was a GBC guideline in their last meeting not to use styrofoam plates and cups. Styrofoam. Styrofoam. With the idea that, I guess the idea is that, well, it's not very ecologically, environmentally friendly, and definitely many people will criticize that if we use that. So we should renounce that for the sake of not unnecessarily turning people off, because they expect when they come to a Hare Krishna temple, we're going to be environmentally conscious. And if we're not, they'll get turned off. And the same thing, then how far do we go with that? Because we have an important part of our Vedic culture that we follow is the separation of the sexes. But in modern Western life, that's not much appreciated. So if we see that the sexes are separated, some people may come in and criticize. Does that mean we should all mix up? So how to apply it, there may be questions about that. On one hand, it might be better for preaching among a certain kind of people if we're all, if men and women in our communities mix in a very free way. But then it won't be very conducive for our spiritual, there's danger for our spiritual advancement. So we have to measure everything very carefully. But overall, the question has to be that by using such a thing or by acting in such a way, does it improve our devotional service? Does it help us to advance? Does it help us to serve Krishna better? Does it help us to increase the preaching? If it doesn't, then it's probably better to give it up. That's a general guideline, we can say. So our renunciation, it's not just renunciation, just give everything up, but it is a proper renunciation. Srila Prabhupada also translates Yukta Vairagya as proper renunciation. Now, in the first three verses of the Upadeshamrita, there are certain tendencies which we have to overcome. Beginning with the first words of Sri Upadeshamrita. No, that's not the first word. That comes in the third verse. Vacho Vegam. The tendency to speak is to be overcome. Now, that may be done by the Falgu Vairagis, or the insubstantial or shallow renunciants, by giving up speaking altogether. But Yukta Vairagya means that one should speak topics of Krishna. And again, we have that verse you said, Atyahara Prayasascha. And then the next word is Prajalpa. So, excessive talk, or just the desire to talk, because we like to go on talking. And of course, if we're talking about Krishna conscious topics, that can be good. It is good. but prajalpa, idle talk, unnecessary talk. So to talk nonsense should be given up, but the tendency to speak should not be given up. It should be utilized in Krishna's service. So this is Yukta Vairagya. Not just giving up altogether, but utilize it in Krishna's service by speaking about Krishna or topics that are connected with Krishna's service. Then Manasavega, we don't try to empty the mind, but rather we try to fill the mind with thoughts of Krishna. You see, it's a very big difference, isn't it, between the impersonalist or the dry renunciant approach. The dry renunciant approach is that, well, the mind binds us to this world with different thoughts and desires and impressions. Try to empty the mind. But a devotee wants to fill the mind with topics of Krishna. Then Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, that's already discussed. Jiva Vegam, the tendency of the tongue to want to eat nice food. That's allowable in Krishna's service, but it has to be in Krishna's service. So instead of giving up all nice food, one offers nice food to Krishna. I personally had this experience in my early days in Krishna consciousness, in this lifetime, that I very much liked prasadam when I first joined. Anyone else had that experience? It's a standard thing. We were all captured by prasad, Prabhupada said. So then I thought, well, instead of thinking about what I like to eat, why don't I cook for Krishna? And then I can cook things that he wants to eat. So I was a cook in the temple, cooking for the deities and for the devotees. So instead of meditating, what's going to prasad going to be? Oh, I hope it's this, I hope it's that. I was meditating on cooking, but what am I going to cook for Krishna? And it's a different meditation altogether. Instead of saying, I'll like it, we're saying, oh, what is Krishna? I cooked those kind of pakoras yesterday, I'll cook something else today. And try to make it as nice as possible. Then you have to learn from other devotees and so on. So that's how the desire to satisfy the tongue can be controlled. Of course, there are other factors also. Regulated eating, that means not snacking, take meals at fixed times, and no snacking in between. This is how civilized people live. You'll find even in India today, among those who are actually living as brahmanas, they're late twice a day and nothing in between. That means they'll get up early in the morning and they'll take their first meal by midday, maybe 11 o'clock, like that, after they've finished all their puja and so many things. This is required for Brahmins, even those who do yajnas and everything. Then they should eat once between sunrise and sunset, and once more they can eat between sunset and sunrise. So at night they also eat. But they tend to eat quite well also. Brahmana bhojana priya. The saying is that brahmanas like good food. Vegetarian, of course. Well, not all brahmanas are vegetarian, but generally so. So in this way, the tongue is controlled. They may take buttermilk in between, that they can take as much as they like. Buttermilk at any time. Anyway, without getting into the details too much. And then not overfilling the belly, udara vega. So actually in the beginning, Prabhupada encouraged, eat more, eat more, eat more. But there came a point when he told them, don't eat too much. So if one has a desire to pack the belly, one should do so with prasadam. And then when one becomes more mature into it, it's not expected that someone who's been practicing devotional service for 30 years packs their belly with prasadam every time they sit down until they get to the point where they can't eat anything more. But the point is that by taking prasadam only, the desire to enjoy automatically, to enjoy this world, enjoy the tongue, that declines. Whereas if one simply tries to, okay, have you seen devotees do this before? Okay, from now on, no more sugar, no more salt, or I'm only going to eat once a day a small meal. I'm going to cut down on sleeping. We often see this, not that often nowadays, especially because we don't emphasize so much on cutting down eating and sleeping. So for some days they'll go very austere, then all of us sleeping very little, eating very little, then all of a sudden You don't see them anymore. What happened? They ate enough for 10 men in one sitting, and they're out sleeping for 24 hours. So that's not yuktahara viharasya, balanced life, Krishna says. Balanced, regulated, eating, activities, sleeping, everything balanced. This is the proper way to practice renunciation in Krishna consciousness. That atyahara that also comes up, right, in the nectar of instruction, Upadeshamrita. Sex, the urge for sex should be upastavegam. That can be applied in Krishna's service for begetting children with the aim of raising them in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it should not be indulged. But it's not banned. It's certainly allowed, but it's there, but with a Krishna conscious motive, as Lord Krishna says. Ka dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshaba. He says that I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. One should also, jana sangha is mentioned as one of the things one should give up. So that means materialistic people, those who are materialistic people that whose company one should give up. That is defined by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that jana tyag, asat sangha tyag, vaishnava char, stri sangha eka sadhu, krishna bhakta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the behavior of a devotee is that he gives up the association of non-devotees, of bad people, or people who are not on the proper path. And what are those people? There are two categories. One, he gives people who are attached to women for the sake of sense enjoyment, and those who are committed non-devotees of Krishna. So that it's not that we give up association altogether, but we give up the association of non-devotees. And then prayasa, that's to be given up. Prayas, it literally means endeavor, but in the context of Upadeshamrita, it means endeavors which are very within this material world, which are very difficult to fulfill. If someone says that, okay, I'm going to go out in Zagreb today, and I'm not going to come back until I've distributed 2,000 books. It might take you a few days. And then what are you going to do? Are you going to stay out at night all night? It's a nice idea. But if you're doing one by one books, it'll take you quite some time. So even to desire something for Krishna's service, which is realistically speaking not within our means, just like we may say, okay, we're going to start a collection to buy a 2 million euro plot of land in the center of Zagreb. It's not realistic. We'll all be dead before you get that kind of money together, probably, unless you have some kind of plan, but it's a realistic plan. But if we see our situation, what it is, and we don't have any plan except going out and collecting, go out on Harinam and collect. Someone may put 50 kunas in the bowl. Then it's unrealistic. So we shouldn't pursue goals. We shouldn't endeavor for goals that are beyond our reach. It requires some intelligence to understand all these things. But that is yukta vairagya. It doesn't mean we give up all kinds of endeavor. But it means that we understand our capacities. Of course, Krishna can empower us, but even when we're going for shooting the rhinoceros, Prabhupada gave that analogy, trying to do something which is very difficult, but we should understand what is difficult, but within the realm of possibility, and that which is really looking for a miracle, and not try to oblige Krishna to make miracles. And in the meantime, all the devotees are fried out because we're pushing them to go out 16 hours a day, work hard, raise funds, And we find after 1 year we've got about 1% of the money, and you just have to go for another 99 years like this. And in the meantime, everyone bloops and some intelligence is required. Yukta Vairagya requires some intelligence to properly follow. Dharya, that's recommended. So now we're coming to that's the good qualities given in the Upadeshamrita. One should have patience. That means if we're performing devotional service, there is renunciation. We shouldn't expect everything to happen all at once. We should continue to be renounced from this world while serving Krishna in this world, and not become discouraged. That utsaha, enthusiasm, that should remain even if our progress seems to be not so very quick. Following the principles, niyamagraha, not giving up the principles because we think, okay, I renounced meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. I did that enough. Okay, finish. No, we should stick to it. And also in renouncing, we shouldn't be so keyed into the principles that we don't see the proper application. Yukta Vairagya, I mean, yukta gives the idea of proper application. No, everyone has to get up early in the morning. Well, Prabhu, this devotee's got typhoid. Now he has to go to put him in the bath, send him out on Sankirtan. He's got typhoid. You're going to kill him. So we have to see. The rules, even important rules, there can be a relaxation of that, not that we insist on it. Tat-tat karma pravartana. We should engage in appropriate activity. That pretty much sums up the whole principle of Yukta Vairagya. Not pursuing worldly desires, lolya, that's very similar to prayas. Maybe in devotional service also, we want to show our temple's the top book distributor, we're the top book distributors. Okay, that's a good desire. But it shouldn't be in a materialistic sense that we want to show those guys we're better than them. There can be a fine line between doing it for Krishna and doing it for our own false ego. Then, enthusiasm, I mentioned that. And utsaha nischa dharyat, these all go together because one's patience in devotional service is... It depends on the nischaya, the conviction that I have to do that. So that is nourished by regularly hearing topics of Krishna. You going to come to the class tomorrow? Yeah. Okay, so please come and then ask your question then, because I didn't really finish this. I finished this session, but I didn't finish the whole topic. So if you ask a question, it will likely cover a topic which I plan to speak on tomorrow. So please come tomorrow and we'll take questions on this tomorrow, Krishna willing. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. Mancha kalpa tarubhyas charki paas indu vevacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.